Hey, I'm Ben Cleaver. Here's what's coming up in this episode.
BPC banned.
A new WADA athlete, yeah. World Anti-Doping Agency banned it. Not because it's harmful, not because it's going to increase muscle growth, say testosterone or something like that, but because, quote, it elicits an unfair advantage. So, you know, in my day-to-day life, I wouldn't mind long for advantage.
Yeah, me too. Me too. When I've got a chronic illness, I want an unfair advantage to be able to heal.
Exactly right.
Hey, welcome to Everybody Knows. I'm Ben. If you are joining me today and you're suffering a chronic health condition or chronic pain, I feel you. Big love goes out to you. I'm so glad you're here joining me today, and I promise to make it beneficial for you. My guest today is Kyle Vandalest. Kyle was recently featured on the uber popular Ben Greenfield podcast and is now, well, on my podcast. So I guess you could say he's going places. And now, in all seriousness, he is known as one of the world's experts in therapeutic peptides, in particular BPC-157. BPC stands for Body Protective Compound. It's a peptide your body makes in your stomach that heals and protects your stomach lining from the hardcore acids that it also produces to break down your food. As Kyle will explain, it's basically the written instructions for the body to heal connective tissue. Joe Rogan takes it to heal nagging injuries, Ben Greenfield for the same, and for what he calls a princess gut. Dave Asprey called it the number one hack for healing inflammatory bowel disease. So that's not nothing. Kyle has formulated a product specifically for healing the gut, containing BPC and other equally potent ingredients. So it's an incredible supplement that I am now taking and will cycle in and out of a few times a year for as long as I can get my hands on it, which is the beauty of this supplement. Kyle calls it the crack team for gut repair. It's not cheap, but you don't always need a crack team. It's not something you have to take ongoing. Just call on the crack team a few times a year to clean the house, so to speak, and get things in order. Certainly, it would be something very beneficial if you're in a Crohn's flare or if you have leaky gut, which many of us do. And to help with the cost, Kyle has also given me a 10% code to share with you, my listeners. To get that 10% off, just use the link in the show notes, or you can actually go straight to the website and enter the code EBK10. That's EBK for Everybody Knows 10. At checkout, the website is levelUpHealth.com. That's LVLUpHealth.com. Please like and subscribe right now. That'd be awesome. And we'll jump into it. Let's go.
Well, hey, Kyle Vandalest, mate, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Ben. On again, we should say. We originally...
On again, yeah.
A few years ago, and for whatever reason, that one never ended up coming out. And since then, too, things have changed so much. So always happy to jump onto a podcast, especially since the first one. There's a lot that needs updating from our conversation on the first one, which people won't actually ever get to hear, but it was a very good chat and I really enjoyed chatting there.
Mate, it's special to me. I'll keep it close to my heart. Would you be able to introduce yourself? I will probably say a few things. I know you're a qualified nutritionist, you're a qualified naturopath, and you're the founder of Level Up Health and creator of some pretty epic supplements, which we're going to get into today, particularly for gut healing, Crohn's, IBD, any sort of healing in the body, just awesome stuff. I came across BPC-157, which for everyone, it's a peptide. We're going to get into explaining what that is. And Kyle has produced some supplements like the GI Ultimate Repair, which I'm taking at the moment, as well as Tributarin, which is another goodie, let's say, but we'll explain that. I'll get you to explain that because I'll butcher it.
All good.
But basically to accelerate healing in the gut, not only the gut, but all through the body. Bodybuilders take this, sports people take this. I don't know if it's a banned substance in sports. Is BPC banned?
Only if you're a WADA athlete, yeah. World Anti-Doping Agency banned it, not because it's harmful, not because it's going to increase muscle growth, say testosterone or something like that, but because, quote, it elicits an unfair advantage. So, you know, in my day-to-day life, I wouldn't mind an on-road advantage.
Yeah, me too. When I've got a chronic illness, I want an unfair advantage to be able to heal.
Exactly right.
So, mate, what else would you add to that so that you sound like somebody we should listen to?
Well, it's a bit controversial, but I'd say the thing that sort of separates me from a lot of qualified nutritionists and naturopaths is I'm not really dogmatic with what I was taught at university, because unfortunately what you learn at uni and what actually translates into the real world tend to be a little bit different. So nutrition, I always butted heads with my lecturers and teachers because they were spousing like high carbohydrate diets and that grains are essential and there was no sort of focus on food quality. So I was a bit of a black sheep in that degree. And then in naturopathy, it was sort of like treated as if herbs were the solution for everything, and anything else that's not natural is almost like the devil and it's going to come at a cost, which there's some truth to that too, especially with pharmaceutical drugs. But I think merging those two fields together and also having an interest in functional medicine, listening to the podcasts, the big American ones like Ben Greenfield, Ben Bukolsky, Dave Asprey, all those guys sort of introduced a lot of concepts that not many naturopaths or nutritionists are aware of. And then my first job out of university was working at a hyperbaric oxygen facility, which was a very difficult trial by fire, because we get pretty much every single client was either an elite athlete looking to up-level their performance, like Novak Djokovic was a notable athlete who came into the clinic, or they had a chronic condition like cancer or an autoimmune disease or Lyme disease. So is little me straight out of university, never really seen too many clients, maybe less than 10 at that stage. And I'm working with all these complex conditions. So I was very humbled in that job by how much I didn't know and how much the clients themselves knew. So when you open to hearing what your clients, what the patients have to say, that's being a good listener when you don't know anything is like super important. And I feel like just a few months on that job, I gained probably more insight into chronic conditions and things like IBD, like cancer, just from listening to the patients about what worked, what supplements they took, what other modalities they used. And a lot of them aligned pretty strongly with the podcasts that I'd listened to as well. In that job, basically all of the products that I now have developed with Level Up, a lot of the inspiration for the ingredients has come from listening to the patients in that specific job. And listening to the director of the clinic, who had just this absolute encyclopedia of everything that could help specific conditions. I think he had over 300 individual web pages that he just drag and drop and publish studies from. It no longer exists, which is a bit of a shame because he got in a lot of regulatory issues with APRA. But yeah, that job was really pivotal for progressing my career to where it is now and for the creation of Level Up and all the products.
And that's how you heard about peptides.
Yeah.
And that started your journey into developing these products.
Exactly right. The clinic was in South Yarra in Melbourne, and directly opposite the clinic was a compounding pharmacy, a compounding chemist that administered peptides, usually subcutaneous injection. A lot of the Essendon and Bombers players actually from back into the early 2000s who took all the peptides. Yeah, they got their peptides from there, and actually the clinic I worked in is where they were administered. So it's an interesting backstory to that old clinic. And funnily enough, all the peptides they took at the time were legal, 100% legal. They just made all the authorities look a bit stupid. So they bought the hammer down pretty hard on them. But amongst the peptides that were used in that clinic was BPC. I don't think the athletes used it, which is a bit weird that they didn't, because it would have really helped any, prevent any injuries that they would have accrued on the field, or if they were dealing with a niggling injury, there's nothing better for healing that one than BPC. But yeah, it was at that clinic where I was first exposed to it and started using it myself as an oral supplement. And it wasn't particularly a good or a well done one, but, and it was very low dose too. I think it was about a fifth of what I now have in my product. But even at that low dose, I noticed a really profound benefit to it, because I was dealing with some gut issues at the time from stress, from living in mold in my previous house. I had gut issues, but nothing like yourself or like a lot of your listeners with IBD. I've never had that. Luckily, I'm blessed to be able to say that. But my housemate at the time, interestingly, she was almost at the point of needing a stroma bag for her colitis, her ulcerative colitis. So the ultimate GI repair product I basically formulated for her, but it's ironic and a little bit sad. She never even ended up taking the product because she is a nurse herself and didn't believe in naturopathy, even though peptides aren't really naturopathy. I would say they're functional medicine. But yeah, she never even ended up taking the product and just called it witch doctor stuff and didn't really believe in it. So from that, GI Repair was made, and now it's been thousands and thousands of people who've tried it, and the reviews are pretty much all positive. The only time I will say that there's a negative or a neutral review is if someone's environment, their home environment, is off, i.e. they're living in mold, they're super stressed, bad relationships. It's a really good, powerful tool, but there's no magic bullet, especially if your bucket, your stress bucket, is being filled up from a variety of different sources. Like, it can only do so much. And that's the point of supplements. They're supplemental to a holistic lifestyle.
100% agree. In my experience, I'm not as learned as you, but in my experience, there is no magic pill. This BPC is very promising, and I've taken it before when we had our last interview. I had a great result. I felt good. I felt, you know, I've only been taking since for about a week. So I started last week when I got the first package from you, which has been awesome. And also taking the tributyrin, which you sent as well, which is great. So I want to talk about that. But there's no magic pill, but there are 1%, 2%, 3%. There are the 10%, 20% that can support your overall body to heal. And that's what we're going for here. In saying that, this is a pretty potent compound to help your gut heal. So I came about this and came to your product because being on the hunt for holistic ways of treating Crohn's, I have Crohn's disease, of course, and probably everyone listening would know that, but I'm looking for an integrated holistic approach that doesn't compromise my other body systems to be able to heal and live the best I can and thrive. And I want to take others along on that journey. And so just in the Crohn's forums and things like that, I heard about this BPC 157 and got talking to another crony. And she's like, this has changed my life. I have to inject it. But it's changed my life. It's relieved my brain fog, things like that. So it appeared like it totally cleared up her inflammation. And of course, it's not that magic pill, but she was obviously doing some other things to support her healing. And I was like, just digging around. Oh, there's a reasonable amount of scientific studies on this stuff, and particularly in gut health. I know there seems to be a lot in ulcerative colitis that I've found. A few studies in Crohn's. I think there was one study started in like Croatia in sort of the 2000 something. The Crohn's, I don't know if it finished. It didn't seem to have any sort of resolve. I don't know if you know about that one, but maybe we'll talk about that one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of the funding for BPC research kind of got pulled in the early mid 2000s when they realized that it was produced naturally, and these companies that were trying to create it weren't able to patent the ingredient. And if you're not able to patent an ingredient from a business perspective, anyone can use your research, anyone can sell that ingredient, and you're basically doing it as a charitable service for every other company that might want to create it or use it. That's why drug companies only research and invest money into things that they're going to get a return on. Like, there's a devil's advocate thing where you could say from a business perspective, that's how it has to be. Otherwise, you're just a charity. At the same time, like, government research grants could go into this sort of stuff. And that's why it's continued to be studied a little bit, not because of pharmaceutical companies anymore, but because there's really good potential for these compounds. But yeah, a lot of it was done in Croatia in the 90s and 2000s. And yeah, really promising results for UC, IBD. And there's also quite a few other peptides that are also being looked at. Again, similar story where they've been looked at as potentially patentable and then end up getting a lot of great studies, preliminary studies done in animal models, especially because animal models are cheap versus human studies. And then usually not going to run a human study unless they're certain that this compound that they're studying can end up patentable. But yeah, it's a lot of the research was done in animals as injectable. BPC acetate is the form that you inject. But there's also the form BPC arginate, which is the one Level Up and a few other oral BPC companies will use, because this survives the stomach acid and it can be administered orally and you can take it as needed without the discomfort of subcutaneous, subcutaneous injection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was initially put off by that. I kind of didn't want to inject myself. You know, I think there's a few safety issues around sterility as well. Did some more Googling and came across articles from Ben Greenfield, who is a very prominent biohacker and beast of a guy who probably, you know, tests stuff on himself, but on himself, he was using it and talked about the benefits of it. Then even just maybe a few months ago, I was on a live stream from Dave Asprey, who's like the father of biohacking, you know, functional medicine background as well, and sort of always on the fringes or cutting edge of the holistic approaches to, you know, longevity and healing and stuff like that. And anyway, I submitted a question and it was like, number one hack for IBD? And anyway, sure enough, he answered the question and he's like, BBC 157. And I'm like, boom, that's awesome. Wow. Okay. Thank you. So yeah, so I was super keen to jump in and interview again and take the product again as a part of my overall sort of right now I'm in a season of kind of really elimination diet, stripping everything back and trying to heal the gut. And that'll be a process for me. Well, it's an ongoing process, but an intensive process for the next sort of 6 months or so for me to be able to maybe then start to use that as a foundation for good health going forward. So yeah, let's jump into now, what is a peptide? If you can explain it so that people have never heard of like peptides or taking peptides, I understand they're a natural compound the body produces.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about BPC specifically and what action that has and who should consider taking this?
Yep. 4 points. I'll leave it at four and I'll work through. Peptides are amino acids. It's fine. The most common example you'll find in the body is insulin. Everyone except for type 1 diabetes will make insulin, even though you make it a little bit, but everyone has peptides within their body. There's thousands of them and they all elicit a wide variety of effects and they're all endogenously produced apart from some that are modified. BPC 157 is a 15 amino acid chain peptide. Our body produces it naturally in our stomach acid. And the reason it produces it there specifically is the stomach is a highly acidic, highly potentially damaging environment if you have something go wrong in your stomach. Like if you have a peptic ulcer or if you have any sort of rupture to your stomach, then that's acid. That's 1 to 2 pH of acid that can leak in your body and be actually very fatal. That's why your body makes this peptide to heal that stomach lining as soon as something pops up, because that's so critical to the survival of the body. That stomach lining is intact and that acid stays where it is because you're playing with fire, having a bad of hydrochloric acid in your stomach. So that's why the body makes it there. From there, the stomach acid, as it trickles down with your food, the BPC will continue further on into your small intestines, and then the BPC has the effect of healing. That's very, very simply what it does. It heals connective tissue. Connective tissue is what the stomach is made of. Connective tissue is what your small intestine and even your large intestine do. All of your digestive system, there's a huge amount of collagen type 1, 2, 3, 4 collagen networks that all require the precursors from amino acids from your food. That's why a carnivore diet, which provides a very large amount of amino acids, specifically if you're having meats like lamb shanks, you get a lot of glycine, which is the primary amino acid that connective tissues are made up of. But then BPC it provides the blueprint for the materials, which are the amino acids, to be made. So when you ingest BPC or you inject BPC, the body is basically given an instruction. And those instructions are what are called like VEGF, EGF, NGF. These things are just called growth factors. And these growth factors elicit a cascade, a response. And in simple terms, those cascades just result in healing of connective tissue networks. And that's why athletes will take it too, because connective tissue is not just your gut lining, but it's things like ligaments and tendons and the fascia around muscles too. So that's how it will help with musculoskeletal injuries. But then when you take it orally, specifically orally, it really helps with gut issues because it is getting locally through your digestive tract locally delivered to your stomach if you've got a stomach ulcer or you've got an issue in there, Helicobacter pylori, H. pylori. It helps heal that stomach lining. If you've got a small intestinal issue, inflammation there, then it heals that. And then for things like Crohn's and colitis, which is really distal, right at the end of your tract, taking a large dose is why a supplement's necessary, because the amount your body makes is really only designed to work in the stomach, to heal that stomach, the lining of your stomach and a little bit of your small intestines. We're talking micrograms that the body would make. And a lot of the foods we're consuming in our day-to-day life cause damage to the lining from top to bottom. And by the time it gets around to the large bowel, there's kind of none left. It's already been used up earlier in your body by the small intestine, or even like your ascending colon, it might be fine. Usually that's the last part of the bowel that gets affected. It's working your way. It sort of runs out by the time you get to the descending and the sigmoid colon, which is where majority of IBD pathology resides. That's why supplementing a very high dose, it's still only micrograms in a supplement, but by orally supplementing a large amount of this, it's going to end up getting from top to bottom of your digestive tract. And even you can use these peptides as suppositories too. Not the formulations I have, they're designed for oral consumption, and they do have things like sodium bicarbonate, which if you're putting that in water and using it as a suppository, you'll have a very fizzy feeling up the back end if you choose to do that. But caution on that one. Or if you do, make sure if you can adjust the acidity of your water to allow that high school volcanic reaction of the bicarbonate to react with something acidic in your water, that'll neutralize it, and then you can use it as a suppository. But progressing back, who would use BPC-157? Was touched on that with the athletes, people who've got a connective tissue injury. Anyone with gut issues, if you have IBD, there's 100% chance you have leaky gut. And that's what BPC really excels in. That's what Dave Asprey mentioned as the number one ingredient for IBD for a very good reason. It helps with collagen network reformation. It helps with all those growth factors, which are just going to be nothing but beneficial to leaky gut, which is the main purpose of the GI repair formula, is to fix leaky gut, essentially. We spoke about supplements being a 1 or a 2% thing. GI repair has 6 really potent active ingredients. If BPC is like a 5%er, lorazepam acetate is another peptide, which might be another 5%er, because this is going to counteract one of the main drivers of leaky gut, which is called zonulin. Zonulin essentially opens the tight junctions of your gut and is one of the main drivers of leaky gut. Zonulin is produced in response to gliadin, which is from gluten. So anyone with IBD who's consuming gluten, or even casein's another one which can trigger it. So dairy and wheat, the two things your naturopath or your nutritionist, if they know anything about it, they've told you to get off those. That's because these proteins create this zonulin protein to increase the permeability of your gut, which is leaky gut. And when you have leaky gut, undigested food matter will enter your circulation. Your immune system is basically, majority of it lines your gastrointestinal tract, because that's where majority of the challenge for the immune system comes through. Bacteria, we've got the microbiome. They're really good if they're in a healthy balance, but a lot of the time the microbiome, if you give them a chance with leaky gut, they're going to enter, and the immune system has to sort that out. The reason we've also got Peyer's patches, and it's called the GALT, the gastro-associated lymphoid tissue. Majority of your body's immune defense is situated around the gut for that specific reason. And if you have leaky gut, your immune system is not going to be happy, because majority of the immune resource is going to be on this never-ending fight between the food you've eaten and not digested, the SIBO if you've got bacterial overgrowth, the fungi, all the things within the lumen of the gut should stay there. The body should not have to fight these things all the time, which is unfortunately something that does happen with IBD, leaky gut, even IBS too. There's like a lot of, I think in the world we live in now, it's very hard not to have some degree of leaky gut with all of the insults from glyphosate, gluten, casein. It's just pretty ubiquitous in the environment now, and very hard to avoid having gut issues.
Yeah. So environmental toxins from every angle, really. Kyle, How would somebody know if they have leaky gut? What are the symptoms? I know it's not something you're going to go to your doctor and they're going to go, oh, you've got leaky gut. So what are the symptoms that people typically experience so that they can consider whether maybe something like the GI repair would be something they want to jump onto?
Yeah, so it's not the main one, but it's a very good indication that you have leaky gut is if you get brain fog after eating certain foods. The gut lining and the blood-brain barrier are made up of very similar mechanisms. And zonulin, which is what I mentioned before, the main driver of leaky gut, also can increase the permeability of the brain. And if you've got leaky brain, you might have endotoxin or bacterial toxins or whatever's in your circulation can get in your brain, and then that can cause brain fog. That was the biggest symptom I had when I had gut issues was brain fog. It felt terrible not being able to find your words, not being verbally fluent. But the obvious ones are constipation or diarrhea. It can go either way. Bloating, pain in your stomach, pain in specific regions, like you just feel around. You really should not have pain when you eat food. You shouldn't bloat when you eat food. And it really shouldn't matter if you've got a steel guts, if you've got a really healthy gut. It shouldn't matter too much what you eat. There's obvious things you want to avoid, fake foods, Beyond Burgers, loaded with glyphosate and things that are high in omega-6 oils and too much sugar as well. All these things are not great. But the other symptoms you can get when you've got leaky gut, it's not a symptom, it's an actual marker. And if anyone's had IBD and had their bloods taken, they will see calprotectin. Elevated calprotectin is usually a diagnostic criteria for Crohn's and colitis if you've got high levels of that, which your doctor, if they're a gastro, will have run that. The other one that you can see from blood tests or fecal tests is zonulin, that protein that I mentioned before. You can test that as well. And if that's elevated, then there's a pretty much direct link that you will have leaky gut and gut issues as well from that test. But symptom picture, like if you're eating foods and you're reacting to them and feeling terrible, and even histamine reactions are another one, yeah, it's pretty easy to see or pretty easy to feel if you've got leaky gut, because it's not subtle.
Yeah. Brain fog's pretty much a given for IBD people, and just random swelling, pain everywhere. Obviously diarrhea or constipation and bloating. Like, I didn't realize that I had bloating until I started a pretty strict carnivore diet a few months ago. And then all of a sudden my stomach just went flat. Most people think that a great thing.
On the carnivore diet, you're aware of Sean Baker. He's been probably one of the primary voices in it. But the other two that aren't physicians that also have a very strong opinion and voice in that community are the Petersons, Jordan and Michaela Peterson. Michaela Peterson has been doing the diet for, I believe, 5 years now. And she's always tried to reintroduce foods, but found that it's not worked. Anytime she's reintroduced something, she's reacted to it and had huge histamine reactions. Interestingly, I was listening to a podcast that she was doing with Dr. Ben Lynch, and she's been working with a physician because she lives in Miami and had a huge amount of mold in her house. So that was the driver of that. If we're looking at things that are going to ruin your guts, it's those foods that I mentioned before. If you're sitting a laptop on your stomach, like you're laying in bed with a laptop on your stomach, that's going to directly contribute to leaky gut and gut inflammation. But mold is, from my personal experience too, just moving to Queensland, we moved into a moldy house, and no amount of GI repair or BPC could fix my gut. The amount of mold we had, the mold exposure, all these mold toxins. If gluten and glyphosate are like a screwdriver stabbing the gut lining, mold toxins are like a Stanley knife or a box cutter just ripping through. It's so damaging. And as I said, no amount of peptides could undo the damage that was accumulating to my guts during that time. Constantly bloated, histamine issues all the time, the brain fog. It was, if you've lived in mold or if you suspect that you're still living in mold and you have IBD, please test yourself for mycotoxins. There's a test called the Mycotox profile. It's pretty expensive, but if for whatever reason, like the carnivore diet isn't working or the supplements aren't working, you need to look at your environment. If you're in a high humidity environment, if you've had water damage in your house, please look at that, because you will not heal if you're still being exposed to those things. I've not found any toxin worse for your body than mold toxin.
Wow. Yeah, okay. We've got to talk more about that. A lot of the information I'm coming across often mentions mold and mold toxicity and that needing to be a pretty primary part of the strategy to heal. So
I can speak pretty well to it, having gone through that journey for well over a year and living in humid Queensland. It's constantly something that pops up all the time. I actually developed a heap of products because of that experience. Like the Level Up Health range has gone from when we first interviewed 3, it's now up to 18. I needed to develop something to get my brain working. My liver ended up backed up. So Tudka had a companion product, Liver Complex, which essentially was designed to get the liver working for phase 2 detoxification, which is something that really takes a hit when you are exposed to mold. Okay. Historesist is another one for people with histamine intolerance. As I said, in mold, my histamine levels were so high all the time. My eyes were puffy, red. I was actually using pharmaceutical antihistamines, and I hated having to do that because when you use pharmaceutical antihistamines, that has a direct effect on your own stomach acid. It makes your stomach acid less effective. It doesn't get as low. It doesn't get into that 1 to 2 range. And then when your stomach acid is insufficient, then food goes past, specifically proteins and fats don't get digested as well. And then you end up with bloating from those. You end up with bacterial overgrowth because your stomach acid and your enzymes haven't done the job. So that's where the bacteria take over. And then bloating comes from that. So a lot of people with IBD almost need a reverse engineer. If the problem is in the large bowel right at the end, you pretty much have to pay attention to every single phase of your digestion, starting with being present with your food, sitting down, trying to be in that parasympathetic mode, not super stressed all the time, which is very hard to do in this world we live in, but really getting into that rest and digest, that parasympathetic mode. It's rest and digest because that's when your body is going to digest food. And digestion of food with IBD is critical because you need to be able to digest your food. Otherwise, you end up gaunt and skinny and then it just passes through undissolved. You end up with fat in your stool. And the reason why it's so important to be in that mode is stomach acid requires you to slow down, to be created. And it all kind of starts with stomach acid. If you're chewing your food, great. You're taking a bit of the burden off those enzymes, the proteolytic enzymes in your stomach, by just physically chewing. But the stomach acid is pretty much one of the top things that you need to work on. If you need a help with that, you can take supplements for proteolytic enzymes. You could take Swedish bitters or eat like rocket lettuce or something prior. Coffee's a great bile and stomach acid stimulant. You need a functioning thyroid. Your thyroid needs to be working well for stomach acid to be produced. And yeah, basically just focus on that. That's the first step. That's your first defense against things like bacterial overgrowth, against candida, and also against the bacteria causing bloating. Because as I said earlier, your body should really be able to take care of whatever it is you consume. So this is a potential pitfall too when some people get on carnivore diets. And for most people like yourself, it'll work. But if people feel worse on that, that's because their body is unable to digest and assimilate the protein and fat, which is the predominant sources, the macronutrients on a carnivore diet. If that stomach acid isn't breaking down, as we said, the bacteria are the ones that have to do it, if they can do it at all, if you have the right amounts of bacteria. And that's where you can sometimes end up with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, because that is in the small intestines up close to your stomach. And that only ever really occurs if things are getting through undigested, and then your body is basically asking bacteria for help. And then, you know, you're kind of stuck in this undesirable situation. But yeah, that's
okay. That's interesting because I hear quite a few times people with Crohn's say, yeah, you know, the carnivore diet's worked for me or is working for me and fits with me. But other people say, I can't eat red meat. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know what's going on there, but potentially, is that what we're talking about here?
Yep. If you can't eat red meat, it's stomach acid. Every human should be able to. It's part of our evolution, our biology for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. As Homo sapien, we or our ancestors have been eating it. It's so essential, and it's such a bittersweet thing to happen if you can't eat red meat as someone with Crohn's. If you've ever had bleeding, you know your iron levels are going to be low. There's no better food source of iron than red meat. So for you not to be able to eat that, that needs to be troubleshooted. And taking proteolytic enzymes, digestive enzymes prior to taking it will fix that problem if it's an enzyme insufficiency. And then taking betaine HCl or hydrochloric acid, all those Swedish bitters prior to consuming it, if it's an acid deficiency, will fix that as well. The other thing that can happen when people do carnivore diets is they end up with a higher fat diet, like a lot of the meat is just fattier. You might end up with 20% fat, and then it could be the fats that cause the issue. So this is, if it's not red meat, but it's just fats, then that issue will be with bile. That's usually a liver issue. Your body is not producing enough bile. Bile is the thing that breaks down fats into fatty acids, and then bile is required to absorb it. If you have a bile insufficiency, if you don't have a gallbladder, for example, a lot of people have those taken out for silly reasons, but if you're not making enough bile, then that's when fats will cause an issue, and you will notice fats in your stool. You'll have poos that float in the toilet, or you'll notice them being really greasy. That's because you're not breaking down the fats enough. And that's where things like bile stimulants, they're called cholagogues and choleretics. So burdock root, dandelion, artichoke, tudka, ox bile, all these supplements are really going to help with fat digestion if that's where the issue lies when you embark on a carnivore diet. The bittersweet part of the carnivore diet, and this is a long-term thing to look out for, is thyroid is something that can go with long-term carnivore use, because insulin is triggered when you consume sugars and carbohydrates, and insulin is required for your thyroid conversion. Inactive T4 requires insulin to be converted to T3. T3 is your active form. And if you're constantly doing keto or carnivore where you don't have a high amount of insulin being produced, then your thyroid might slow down. And when your thyroid slows down, it goes back to that first part of the digestion. You need T3 to create stomach acid. So you can be feeling good and great for a few months, and then all of a sudden your stomach acid might start to go. That you just need to be looking at your thyroid levels, because as I said, it happened to me when I did carnivore. My thyroid started to slow down because I didn't have that insulin. Luckily, if you're consuming a lot of muscle meat with high in leucine and the BCAAs, that does trigger IGF, which triggers insulin. So higher protein intake in that, or combining it with some really benign carbohydrates, ones that are simple, like disaccharides or even things like honey. That's why Paul Saladino consumed honey, because his thyroid went to shit. So you want to still avoid the polysaccharides, all of the FODMAPs, all these very difficult to digest carbohydrate sources. But if thyroid is an issue, then stomach acid will be an issue. And then the diet that had been working for you for months will stop working because you're not breaking down the protein. And then your symptoms will flare up again in different ways to probably prior, because it will probably result in something like a SIBO or a candida or protein maldigestion or fat maldigestion. So that's my only caution with people doing carnivore. I love it in principle. I love it in the sense that you're getting so many of the amino acids that are essential for the repair of your gut lining. You're getting a heap of glutamine, you're getting a heap of glycine, you're getting a heap of peptides too if you're eating organ meats. So carnivore is fantastic. Just be aware of that thyroid issue, because it can put you in a downward spiral.
So how does somebody know if their thyroid is being affected? Would there be any particular symptoms to look out for?
Yeah, you usually feel good from carnivore, pretty stable energy. If that, for whatever reason, starts to drop and you're just feeling tired, if you're starting to feel cold, if the outer third of your eyebrows start to go, then you have thyroid issues. Hypothyroid is usually the way it is. And
Yeah.
Just looking there. It's not always the case.
All right.
A lot of women, it's hard to tell when they get their eyebrows done. But thinning hair as well, your hair not growing as fast as it used to. There's a long list that you can just Google. Dr. Berg has good content on thyroid as well. But it's sort of a very nuanced point. But I reckon out of every 10 people who go on the carnivore diet, if they stick to it for more than 6 months, I reckon 2 to 3 will end up with that issue. So it's not insignificant. And that's why Saladino has diverged away from people like Sean Baker and the Petersons, because his thyroid went. It's not everyone. Everyone's liver might not be as burdened, because the liver is important for thyroid conversion too. So if your liver health is good, you'll be digesting fats well, and you'll be converting your thyroid, which will in turn then allow your stomach acid to be good. But that's why Saladino, despite being probably one of the most well-versed carnivores there is, has started to incorporate fruits and simple sugars into his diet for that insulin signaling.
Which I applaud him for, because he's come out and made a name for himself as a carnivore MT, and he's kind of backtracked, which some people would say, oh, come on, mate, going back on what you said. But I think it takes a lot of maturity to kind of go, I was wrong and I'm changing things up. And I was really respecting for that. I know that a lot of hardcore carnivore proponents don't really like it and just shake their head at him eating honey and orange juice and stuff like that. But I think we're all on a journey and listening to our bodies, which I really recognize in my own experience, that whether it's BPC, whether it's a carnivore diet, whether it's a vegan diet, whether it's anything else, once you become dogmatic and religious about something, watch out, because your body's just not like that. It's not like this is one program and these 10 answers and you follow this 10-step plan and boom, we're all as healthy as Superman. It's just not like that. I find that the journey to healing, I would say the journey of life is a spiritual one, and that involves being connected to yourself and listening to yourself, a sense of connection, not a like, you know, I'm going to follow this, this, and this, and I'm going to stick to this to the day I die, whether it's working for me or not. And I just appreciate your approach too, mate, that you haven't developed these products and you're not singing like their praises, like they're, you know, the magic pill or the only thing you need and everything like that. And that's why I was just keen to have you on, mate, because you're all about that holistic approach and listening to your body. And it's not one size fits all. What we're talking about here, BPC and the GI Ultimate Repair, are things that you can add to support the overall process, and they're a big help. So anyway, I want to get back to this. Just one question I had, you mentioned collagen before, and as I understand it, like when I was in initially 20 years ago, and my wife and I, we didn't have any answers for my Crohn's disease. I was on the couch, not able to work. We were pretty newly married and trying to find answers. And the best answers I found were in a sort of paleo style diet, and particularly in that sort of initial phase of overcoming flare ups and stuff like that. It was all about collagen intake, and it was, you know, just basically living on a bone broth to allow the collagen to start, you know, building and repairing my gut. So how does BPC support that? And could, you know, just being on a high, do some people have the collagen that they're taking in their diet, is that potentially not doing what it's supposed to do?
Mm. So collagen's a great.
And how does BPC sort of support that?
Yeah, I've really tried to emphasize all of the basic things first, all the environmental things first. There's a lot of genetic things too, a point you made first. Not everyone's the same. There's no one size fits all, because everyone has different genes. Everyone has different polymorphisms on how they do things. But collagen is sort of, provided it's not sweetened with something terrible like sucralose or ACE-K, a collagen protein is going to be fantastic. And your stomach acid, again, comes back to this. Your stomach needs to break that down into the individual amino acids that are required. They are the building blocks. They are the brick and mortar for the house that is being built. That metaphorical house is your stomach lining. BPC is sort of like an expert consultant being brought in to help build that house more efficiently. It's going to get done regardless. You've got your workers in there, which is the body is the worker, and the collagen and the gelatin and all of the bone broth. They are the building materials. It's going to get done provided you don't have a bad worker in there smashing up the place, which is a bad diet or alcohol. It's going to get done if you're not stressed. You don't have all these workers who are under so much stress that they're not doing the job properly. They're not sleeping properly. BPC comes in as like this expert consultant to say, hey, you need to do this now. And you're doing that wrong. It's sort of guiding the body by providing those growth factors, the nerve growth factor, nitric oxide, vascular endothelial growth factor, VEGF. That's one of the main ones, because that helps with angiogenesis, which is blood vessel formation, which blood vessels need to be around the site of injury, around the site of damage to your gut, to both remove and deliver nutrients and waste from that site. GI repair has multiple ingredients in it. It's like bringing in a crack team to sort of work on fixing the gut lining or building this metaphorical house back after it's been destroyed. lorazepam acetate is a peptide in there, which gets basically neutralizes zonulins, like that worker in there with a sledgehammer sabotaging all the hard work that your body's doing. If you can neutralize that and stop it, then the peptide, the expert consultant BPC, can direct all the other people without there being this hindrance within the mix. KPV is another peptide that I included since our first one. It's been added to there as well, because KPV is another peptide that's got some really good research around Crohn's and colitis, probably more than BPC nowadays, because again, it was one of these new peptides that they thought they could again patent. That one's fantastic for reducing for helping with that collagen formation around the gut, healing injuries. It's very similar overlapping mechanisms to BPC, with the addition of it works on the melanocortin system. And that's a very potent anti-inflammatory system that's both in your brain and in your gut and in pretty much every cell in your body. And it helps the immune system too, which for Crohn's colitis, your immune system is all over the shop. It can be completely suppressed one day, or it can be over the top and you be in a massive flare the next. So it modulates it and kind of normalizes it in a more preferable way. So it helps with that respect. It helps your body deal with things like candida. Candida is going to be another driver of systemic inflammation. And a lot of the time, as we said, if you don't have sufficient stomach acid, which is quite often with IBD, you might end up with SIBO or candida or dysbiosis in the gut. So KPV helps with that one. And then all the other naturals in there too, they're just bringing in great workers. This is a big house that, you know, I think if you were to lay out the entire gastrointestinal tract, it would cover up the space of a whole tennis court. There's so much surface area in that gut. It's not a small job to try and keep your gut lining intact. And it's also not a small job to keep those microbes out. So keeping the integrity of your gut is the greatest way to reduce symptoms, to keep your overall health, regardless of what condition you may or may not have. A healthy gut lining is upstream to most disease processes, things like Alzheimer's and dementia. Leaky gut is a huge contributor because toxins are getting into the brain. That zonulin is opening the blood-brain barrier. So again, toxins can enter there and cause wreak havoc and accumulate in the fatty tissue, which is the brain. Leaky gut's going to contribute to inflammation. Inflammation drives every disease process in the human body. So a healthy gut lining is super critical, whether you have no gut issues at all, well done to you in this day and age, or it's looking like a stroma bag or an immunotherapy or something with IBD. Working on your digestive system from top to bottom, start at that acid, work on those pancreatic enzymes in your small intestine, and then also make sure you get enough water and you have the right amount of fiber, whether it be more or less. That's very individual. There's no one size fits all for that, for your large intestines. And then maybe look at bringing in something if a basic solution, i.e. something from your doctor or something from a naturopath, isn't working. That's when you bring in these heavy hitter peptides. They will, if you're in a flare, they have a very good chance of putting it into remission. If you do a high dose and you are concurrently doing the right lifestyle practices, trying to reduce your stress, minimizing the amount of polysaccharides or casein or gluten in your diet, and just trying your best to do all the right things, which it's pretty hard to know what they are when everyone has a different opinion on what the right and the wrong thing is nowadays. But yeah, just you should be able to figure it out by listening to your body. Your body tells you, your body knows. And if you listen to it, sometimes it can be hard to hear it when you've
good
got
a name for a podcast.
Yeah, I reckon. Yep, exactly. But if you listen to your body, it'll tell you. If you drink a glass of milk, like a lot of people are jumping on the raw milk craze at the moment because it's got things like lactoferrin, it's got some amount of colostrum, which are great for the immune system and the gut. But if you drink that and you can't handle lactose or casein, you're going to know about it and you should probably not drink that. If you eat a sourdough, if you eat sourdough bread, a lot of people do really well on that. If you've got chronic issues and you've got a gluten celiac sensitivity or you've got the genes, you're going to know about that. So just listen to your body. It's not too difficult, but the hard part is actually being able to listen to your body, especially if it's been shouting at you for months and you just don't, you've neglected it, or if your health's in such a bad state that the only thing it's telling you is that you're not, then I'd definitely suggest getting the help of a really good practitioner. Since our podcast, I connected with this group over in America that I have a very good track record for IBD. They're called Crohn's Colitis Hospital. I'd highly recommend you that if you can get on a podcast with Dane, the founder, and potentially collaborate with them, getting your listeners to work with them because they're fantastic. In all my years of looking at it, I've never found a group that I do more extensive relevant testing, not these bloods that show nothing, not colonoscopies, which if you're really bad, they're going to see something, but if it's not too bad, sometimes they miss it. And you can detect these things well before you've got this scar tissue or you've got this complete red raw, looks like you've fallen off a motorbike sort of level of injury in your gut. These is very detectable. These markers of zonulin and calprotectin and all the interleukins and TNFs are detectable well before the disease has progressed to the level where you're passing blood in your stool or you're going to the toilet 16 times a day. Getting on the front foot with these things before it becomes this massive autoimmune issue, it's reversible until it's not. And then even then, Dane himself was down to, I think, 50-something kilograms. He couldn't walk. He'd atrophied that much. He was passing basically water and blood 15 times a day, and he managed to completely reverse it using peptides, using naturals, reverse engineering his digestion and just stripping out everything. Basically what you're doing with the carnivore, but then very strategically and also testing it to see how his body reacted to it, reintroducing foods. And now he's back to full health and he's on a mission to help tens of thousands of people now. And he's using the product GI Repair to really good success over there and many, many others. And there's no one size fits all. Hopefully GI Repair was designed to target everything. I spoke about stomach acid. I put zinc carnosine in there. That's one of the main anti-inflammatories to the stomach. The zinc helps with hydrochloric acid.
Okay.
Quercetin is a great sealer of the gut lining, and it also reduces histamine, and histamine itself opens up the gut lining to try and cause a flushing reaction. So if you've got histamine intolerance issues, if you've got high levels of histamine, then there's a good chance your gut is also opening. And that's one of the ways your body will get rid of parasites is via histamine. So you can sometimes have histamine issues from parasites. The immune system isn't big enough. The white blood cells aren't large enough to attack a large organism like a parasite. So the body tries to dislodge them by histamine, which will cause runny bowels. And the histamine itself just causes basically you to void your bowels and to be really loose. So histamine can be high in people who have parasites. And that's a whole different topic. I'm not going to get into that. If you think you have parasites, please work with someone. You can make things way worse by trying to do it yourself. Candida is a little bit easier, but still a tricky one. And it's something that takes a while to work through. But IBD, give BPC, give GI Repair, give them a try. You won't regret it. If you go on our website, you'll see all of the, I think we're at hundreds of positive reviews, publish everything, good or bad. Are you getting a pretty decent sampling of how people have thought? It's a pretty expensive product because peptides aren't cheap. They're 18 times the price of gold, BPC is, per gram. So regrettably, the price point on it is high, but I believe you have a discount for your listeners if anyone wants to try it. I promise you won't regret it. But
yeah,
that nuance that I said before, if you're living in mold, it's not going to work. If you're highly stressed in a relationship that's got you not sleeping, it's not going to work that well as well. So just make sure you give the product the best chance possible to work by having your environment, your diet, and your lifestyle, having all those dialed in as well.
Yeah, that's so true. Thanks, mate. And I wanted to mention that too. It's not a cheap product, but you're not going to be taking this forever. This is something, the GI Repair is something you take maybe 1-2 months. Would you agree, Kyle?
Depending on where you're at. Things,
what would you suggest, say for somebody like me or somebody with IBD, it's a chronic gut issues, how would they go about it?
Again, no one size fits all. If someone has just basic leaky gut, 1 month of GI Repair should be sufficient to keep you going for a few months. If you're in an acute flare and you're passing blood, it's really got a long ways to go to bring you back to normality. So you might need 4 months of it or a 4 month supply in which you use in 2 months or a month and a half. The dose, these peptides, are very, very safe, very wide therapeutic window. So you can dose them up really high. It's going to be expensive, but it will be worth it to try and get your flare or your inflammation, your gut issues in remission, or put them, bring them down a few levels. It's also good to cycle these things. Sometimes the workers of the metaphorical workers get sick of being told what to do and stop reacting to the instructions being barked at them. So it's good to cycle peptides, because just anything, insulin, for example, insulin resistance, you can like a sort of resistance to the peptide signals. So if you do 2-3 months on, it's good to have a month off to sensitize those receptors in your body to the peptides instructions.
Yeah. So that's great, mate. Now, in the research and in your experience, there's no kind of risks or contraindications like things that other drugs that you're taking, that if I was taking biologics or whatever for Crohn's. This is kind of just supportive to the body's natural healing processes. This is not going to clash with anything.
Looking at all the biologics, the steroids, it's not going to interact with them. The peptides aren't metabolized by the liver either. So there's not going to be any liver metabolism crossover issues, like something like St. John's wort, for example, has bad ones. Grapefruit have really bad interactions with certain drugs. The only thing that I could think that might be somewhat contraindicated is the KPV peptide being an immune modulator. If you're on immune suppressants like methotrexate, that's a chemo, right? That's the whole point of methotrexate, is to destroy your immune system. If you're bringing something in that's going to support your immune system and try and put it in the right zone, then it might be a bit contraindicated to that. But I would question whether methotrexate's the right choice anyway. Like, chemo is destruction. It's the problem isn't the immune system. It is in autoimmunity, I get it, but the body's doing that for a bloody good reason. And I think you need to try and work with someone like Dane from Crohn's colitis to figure out what that reason is. That it really shouldn't be doing it. Yeah. And it's reversible if you do the right things. So rather than just nuking your body or using something like infliximab to target a cytokine like TNF-alpha, this is too far downstream of what the upstream problem really is. Your body has developed an immune response to a protein in your body that looks like a protein in your gut lining. That is basically, simply put, one of the main drivers of what's happening. The other thing is your gut is so leaky that your immune system is just high, over the top. There's too many holes. There's too many entry points. It's like the walls of your castle have been completely breached in 20 different points because of your disease. So your immune system's fighting on 20 different fronts. And it's the best way for it to deal with all of those entry points is to just be over the top. Just like, oh, the bells are ringing, the immune system's going crazy, just attack anything that comes in. And the collateral is that your gut lining is the battleground in which this war's being fought, and it just ends up decimated. So heal the gut, get your stress under control, work with a practitioner with this, because it's not an easy thing to try and figure out yourself. If you try and do it yourself, it might take you so much longer than the person who's worked in this field for 10 years. I'm not saying you can't figure it out. It's just if the repercussions of you having these diseases and feeling terrible are that you might end up in hospital or you might lose 10 kilos or something like that, then you really need to try and work with someone who you trust, not just someone who pushes drugs or chemo on you. That's the shortfall of the Western medical system for these diseases. I'm not saying they don't have a place, a time and a place. I know a flare can be put in remission with these drugs, but it never sticks, and you're always walking this road, this pathway that leads to a stroma bag or you being worse off than this alternative path of functional medicine, of naturopathy, that doesn't lead to you being there. It mightn't lead to a cure, but it's certainly a lot better outcomes than the somewhat seemingly inevitable of Western medicine.
Yeah. So good. Mate, I appreciate, mate, I'm just looking at some of this stuff that you sent out with the product, and it's just so, I really appreciate your attempts to try and educate. You've got, you know, so if you're listening on audio and I'm just showing his little brochure, it's not little actually, it's a brochure with a lot of fine print about the different ingredients in TI repair. There's other products like the Tubcart, which I would love to get into talking about, and maybe we can do that another time. I would also, I know you're a busy man, mate, but I would also love at some point to be able to talk more about the mold toxicity, but we'll see if we can get there because I think that's pretty huge, as you've said.
Yep. I don't want to leave people in the lurch with that. I don't want to leave people in the lurch with that.
Yeah, sure.
If they suspect they have mold toxicity, there's great resources they can find and learn from Dr. Evan Brand. He would be the top educator online. He's done podcasts galore. He's got his own YouTube channel. If you're suspecting that that's one of the main drivers, please look into him. He saved my life when I lived in mold. So anything that I have to say about it and would do a podcast with you, I am regurgitating his education. It's that simple. He's the king at that stuff. He deals with gut issues as well. They're all interlinked. So that's my advice there. If you can get him on your podcast too, amazing. He's one of the best speakers. He's been on Ben. Yeah. He's been on Dave. He's amazing. So he's the guy I would direct people to. And Dane Johnson at Crohn's Colitis Lifestyle in America. He's a great guy as well. Really can't recommend him high enough.
Right. Appreciate that, mate. That's so good. As you've said, you've given us a link. Thanks. Very generous, mate. You've given my listeners a link to get a discount. I think it's 8 or 10% discount off any of your products, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So I'll add that obviously in the show notes. Anything else you want to say before we leave? I think what I'm just super happy about is that we haven't just talked about a product and why you should take it. We've talked about this holistic approach to helping your body to heal. I'm a big proponent of a slow life. And I think somebody with, and what I mean by that, I don't know if that's obvious as to what I mean by that, but just simple practices like sitting down and present when you're eating. Being more present, cutting out probably half the things you do and commitments you have or even more in your life to be able to bring your stress down and enter into that parasympathetic rest and digest mode as much as possible, doing things like breath work, cold therapy, which I've done before jumping onto the podcast, and just learning and treating your body as if it is communicating. If you're in a chronic health challenge situation, your body is talking, it's communicating. It's not always obvious what it's saying, but slow down. Your body does know, it has some written instructions to be able to heal, but get some help. The one thing I do want to ask you is that, what do you think? You can reach out to someone like Dane Johnson, as you've said, which is awesome, Crohn's Colitis Lifestyle, but it's really hard to find a good practitioner that you can trust. And naturopathy has had its kind of bad rap. And a lot of people think they're just snake oil salesmen or whimsical woo-woo stuff. And so it's hard for people to go, okay, yeah, I've got my GI who gastroenterologist and he's one kind of information source. But as I found it, he's one of your players in your team and you need more players in your team, some else who sees things from a different angle, but it can be really hard to find a trusted source. So what would you suggest somebody reach out, whether they've got Crohn's or whether they've maybe got some other gut issues, autoimmune stuff, what would you do?
You're so right about that, team. I'm really beating this analogy to death, but building that house, like your GI might be the architect and then they have this idea of how it should be built and how it should be done. And then the workers come in and just tell the architect it's not working, that the ground's not going to hold that weight, or for whatever reason, the design's just not working. It's not that GIs can't do the job. There's some great ones, more specifically in America than Australia, if I'm honest. I think there's a disincentive to step outside of the box within Australia because of regulations here. But having a really good gastroenterologist who also does functional medicine is one of the lower paid, but the better outcome of the medical professions to get into. Anything where you specialize, they can charge an arm and a leg, but functional medicine is the specialty of not specializing, if you know what I mean by that. Like, you have to be aware of how the body works together. All the systems are interconnected. Your gut is related to your liver, is related to your thyroid, it's related back to your gut and your stomach acid, which is all related to your mindset and how you approach life. And if you identify as someone who is sick, as you called him, I'm a crony. If you are saying I'm a crony every single day, people are either going to think that you're working for the mob or you're a sick person with that sort of self-talk. It's very important to not identify as someone who's sick, because you can manifest your reality with how you speak and how you think. And sometimes I get it. It's hard not to think like that when you're pooing blood every day or you just feel terrible and brain fog. But that's a huge part of Dane's course as well. If I had Crohn's, I'd certainly have him as part of my team. I'd have a GI. I'd have a naturopath. It can get bloody expensive, unfortunately. I understand that too. But just don't get stuck with someone who's not delivering results, because you can fire your doctor if you need to. You can shop around. It's not easy to do that. It's hard to find the right people. But just jump on. Honestly, online consults, the world is smaller than it's ever been because of the internet. We can jump on Zoom and have this podcast a couple hundred Ks away, or we could even be on the complete opposite side of the world and we connect the same way. The same thing with your doctor. Like, you're probably going to get a better connection with a doctor via Zoom than you might even in person when they're already, if they're part of the system that only allows for 15-minute consults. If you book in with someone overseas and you can get a 90-minute consult with them, and you're already uncovering so many more layers to why you have this condition and not just what to do about it. With 15 minutes in a doctor's office or however long you get, even half an hour, the focus really has to be on what they're going to do for you rather than why you're in this condition in the first place. And it takes a bloody long time. Naturopath initial consults are 90 minutes to 2 hours, because part of that is going through the whole, your whole life, your genetics, your parents, where you grew up, relationships, all this seemingly unrelated stuff all plays in. Either as a half a percentage point into it, or as 10%, or if you've been overseas and you went traveling and you came back with a parasite and you've not been the same since. Well, we've discovered 80% of the problem in that one question that might not have got asked at a gastroenterologist's or your GP. So have a team you can trust, shop around until you feel and like you resonate with their treatment protocols and you can feel and see the results. And yeah, I think that's your best bet to get on top of this.
Yeah. Great, mate. Again, thanks for your time, buddy. I just wanted to ask too, you obviously ship worldwide, so it's not just the Australian market, but yeah, anyone can purchase this and just go to Level Up, levelupphealth.com. The particular product that I'm taking would definitely recommend people with Crohn's or similar issues would be GI Ultimate Repair. There is other stuff like the Tutka and also this tributyrin, which works like a probiotic, as I understand. There is a bit of tributyrin in the GI Repair, and we're probably running out of time for today, but that's something else that you've said that is lower cost, but also supportive of gut healing.
I sent that one to you because of all the naturals that I include in GI Repair, tributyrin is the most relevant for Crohn's and colitis. It will directly fuel the colonocytes of the large bowel. The whole reason that naturopaths would suggest that you have fiber in your diet is so your bacteria can digest that fiber and turn it into butyric acid and lactic acid, which are the fuels for the colonocytes. Tributyrin is a triple bound butyric acid. So that butyrate will directly feed your gut, which has potent anti-inflammatory effects, specifically for Crohn's and colitis, and just fuels it. Like, a cell isn't going to be healthy if it's not getting a fuel source. And if it's constantly inflamed from the outside or from within, then it's basically starving and dying, which is what essentially happens. And when that happens, scarring comes in to replace it. So tributyrin was sent out to you for that specific purpose of, let's provide the most valuable of the nutritionals to help those peptides work as well. It is in GI Repair in a good dose as well, but it's just as an add-on. And the probiotics included in it are probiotic species. There's Clostridium butyrosirum and Bacillus subtilis. Both of those are species which do produce butyrate themselves. So providing the butyrate from tributyrin and then providing the bacteria, which hopefully will colonize in your gut and make more butyrate themselves, win-win. That's why that one was sent.
Yeah. Awesome. There's obviously more information on your website. Mate, thanks so much for your time today. Thanks for all you do. And I really hope we can talk again soon. All the best, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
The content provided in the Everybody Knows podcast, including all text, audio, video, and other content, is for educational and informational purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the podcast belong solely to the speakers and guests, and not necessarily to the podcast's host or affiliated organizations. Before making any changes to your health and wellness routines, especially if you have a pre-existing health condition or diagnosis, it is essential to consult with your healthcare professional. Reliance on any information provided by this podcast, its host, guests, or others appearing on the program is solely at your own risk. The host and producers of Everybody Knows are not responsible for any adverse effects or consequences resulting from the use of any suggestions, products, or procedures discussed in the podcast.